Page 55. Kenny Rogers sound in my voice right now. Hi. Yeah, see you.
Hi. Yeah. It says singing forevermore. The good thing about that is we'll be on key and we'll be good.
Amen. In the meantime, if you're doing it biblically, you're making a joyful noise. Amen. All right, 195 in the hymn book. Let's sing Look and Live.
Recorded in His Word, hallelujah. It is only that you look at.
do one more over in 261 in the hymnbook. 261. How many of you, you don't have to answer this, but I'm just curious, how many of you have taken something because of your allergies?
Say what?
How many of you are taking something because of your allergies? I'm my hand's up. I'm one of them.
Being honest.
Anybody? Okay. Yeah. That's good. I mean, it's good that there's so few people that have to take something. I just struggle sometimes with this. I'm thankful for it. I mean, if it wasn't for all those what we call allergens, you know, the bees, you know, need it, and the flowers need the bees, and out where we're at, it's coming up one time where you drive past our house and our yard looks like yellow carpet.
Dandelion.
Because of the dandelion. And everybody goes around spraying all that poison to kill the dandelions.
And I saw a bee. I saw a honeybee out yesterday.
And yeah, I mean it they turn white and the stuff blows, and I don't know if that I don't know if that's a problem or not.
That's how our yard got seeded.
Yeah.
By somebody else.
But you know, a lot of our neighbors do that, and it's not just us. Because I've heard people say, "Oh, you're the one family that causes the rest of us to have to fight them every year." But the fact is, where we live, there's fields full of them, and so even if we tried to fight it, it'd still be a battle. But I just look at all those beautiful dandelions and think about how everybody goes around trying to kill them all the time.
We're a rescue.
Yeah.
We're healthy to eat, I heard.
I'm told they don't taste great, but they're healthy. So.
Get it before they flower.
Yeah, while they're still yellow, right? I mean,
before they flower.
Oh, before they flower. Okay.
What happens if they turn yellow?
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, all of a sudden the leaves get more better. The bird migration between now and mid-May is the peak.
Yeah.
And her first house ran this morning.
Yeah. So God has a wonderful creation, doesn't it? Even in its fallen state, creation is wonderful. Where's that coming from?
Amen.
All right, let's sing page 261, Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
to everyone online to send your prayer request to BBF Ohio at protonmail.
Ooh, we have more.
And we have prayer cards, so raise your hand if you'd like one. Jenny, bring one around.
Mom, can we need one? Dad?
There's your reminder to silence your cell phone. If not, you might get shot by a poison dart.
We announced by a giant 16-ton weight.
Yeah,
we have those.
We announced this Wednesday. We are shifting our Bible donations to a ministry called Bearing Precious Seeds, Bearing Precious Seed. It's a ministry of First Baptist Church of Milford, Ohio. And this month, our donation was 58 hardback. Complete King James Bibles, and these will be sent to a place in Mexico, and I don't have the information with it. On Wednesday we talked about that. We're going to have little posters we'll put up so you know where the Bibles are going. And so, Oaxaca. And so to date, the total is 1,717 Bibles that we've donated to missions. And so praise the Lord for that. And I'm trying to get the sound right. I don't know why I messed with it maybe Friday when we had our movie night.
We messed with it.
Oh, you did. Well, so let me know online if you have any trouble hearing me. But don't want the feedback. That's bad. So hold your questions, comments. I want to talk about something. And this is about our local situation, but it is happening all over the country and all over the world. And in our current events update, NBC4 local news is given over to serve Satan. I just want you to be clear on that, if you're not already, that the local Channel 4 news has announced that they are in lockstep with the so-called Pride Month and Pride March. They're advertising themselves as the home for the 2021 Stonewall Columbus Pride celebration. June, by the way, is declared in this country as Pride Month. As we discussed in Sunday school, God's patience is demonstrated by the way he puts up with things far beyond what we'd expect. And one of those was the Amalekites. And he said that he was waiting to the fourth generation because the sin of the Amalekites was not yet full. And that's my answer to people when they ask why God hasn't wiped out America already. With all the murdered babies, our government purchasing body parts from those murdered babies, producing vaccines using the cell lines from murdered babies, and promoting Sodom and Gomorrah everywhere, and by government and by in private industry. And I can only say that the sin of the Americans is not yet full, but we've got to be very close. And as Christians, we can only pray it happens after the rapture, but there's no guarantee that God isn't going to lift his hand off this nation before the rapture.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee of that. He's already done it in other countries.
Amen.
So NBC4 is proud to partner with Stonewall's leadership to share stories of pride in our community. Pride is a sin.
Amen.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what they're proud of, if their pride is an abomination to God. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride,
Amen.
And arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate."
Amen.
If your God doesn't hate wickedness, your God is a devil.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
The God of most Americans is a devil. Their God doesn't hate wickedness. And I got to tell you something. I love you enough to tell you the truth. We advertise that. If you don't hate wickedness and evil, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
If you're right with God, sin and wickedness should make you sick. That's why so many Christians fall into sin. They're already in love with it to start with.
Amen.
Makes it that much easier to fall into it. NBC4 is proud to use our platforms to amplify a message of unity and tolerance. As Christians, unity with Sodom is a sin.
Amen.
Amen.
We tolerate in the sense that we don't want people, violently injured or anything like that. But we don't have any tolerance for the acceptance of that sin.
Yes.
We do not accommodate that sin. We will not go along with, I'll speak for myself, and then you decide whether you're going to stand there or not. I am not going to go along with this damned culture.
Amen.
Amen.
America's culture is damned.
Amen. Yep.
And your nation, as a nation, is about to fall.
Amen.
And the reason isn't because of the unsaved people. It's because of the useless professing Christians in this country who are going along with it. They are accommodating it in their own homes. They are allowing it to go through their schools and even allowing their own children to be indoctrinated and not lifting up their voice against it. And the churches, as we discussed again in Sunday school, many churches are more concerned with the bottom line. They run their churches like franchises. They're more concerned with how many people and how much money than they are being faithful to God.
Amen.
And this church is about being faithful to God's word.
Amen.
If you love God's word, you're going to be happy here. If not, good riddance.
Amen.
The local church is for believers who love God's word.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
And too many churches are a joke today.
Yep.
Proverbs, I think that I didn't change the, I get the same. But speaking of tolerance, what does Jesus say to those refusing to repent and receive his gospel? What does Jesus say to those refusing to repent and receive his gospel? In Matthew 11:24, this is the words of Jesus. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee.
Amen.
For those who rejected Jesus when he was on earth, the same is true to those who reject him today. It will be more tolerable for Sodom than for you. Think of that.
Amen.
Again, from that post on NBC4 website. At NBC4, we live our Local for You brand as we work to raise up the message of the Columbus Pride March. NBC4 is working to lift up the message that God can go to hell. That's NBC4. Their message to you is you can burn your Bible. Their message to you is that you, as a Christian who stands against that sin, you are less than scum to them. They could care less about you and what you think. That's NBC4, local, Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
And anybody else who stands with them. And there'll be churches there, folks. I wouldn't recommend you watch the smutty, nasty parade that goes on. But if you see that, you'll see churches. You'll see parents abusing their children and having their children walk in those parades, surrounded by the celebration of what God calls an abomination.
Yep.
It's child abuse.
Yep. Amen.
The message of the Columbus Pride March: to love what God hates and is angry about.
Yep.
That's the message of Columbus Pride. You know, Jesus said about people who have this attitude, remember Lot's wife.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Proverbs 6, 16, 17, the first thing on the list. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first thing he says, a proud look.
Yeah. Amen.
Pride. God hates it. NBC4, Stonewall, God hates your stupid pride month and parade.
Amen.
He hates the sin of LGBTQ. And if you reject Jesus Christ, he hates you. And he is going to cast you into a lake of fire forever.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And Psalm 7:11 says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
We were talking about the definition for patience.
Yeah.
And it on Webster, even the 1828 included being, you're not angry. And that's not true. Patience is you're angry, but you don't act on it until you have the right to do so, or you wait for the Lord to do so, because
Amen.
Vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. So we're angry, but God's the one who's going to exact judgment and justice.
Amen. Not us.
And it's, as I said, if your God doesn't hate things that are wicked, he's a devil. And if your God isn't angry with the wicked every day, you worship a devil.
Yep.
The God of the Bible is not the God of the United States of America today. There's a remnant of believers in this country, but the mass majority of professing Christians don't worship the God of the Bible.
Yep.
They make up one in their own brain, their own head. NBC4 Local News is promoting the destruction of children in this wicked sin. And you watch most of the news networks support chemically castrating children.
Yeah.
That if a kid is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, on up to 15, 16, and says, I'm a biological male, but I think I want to be a girl. Then they put them on the pills and chemically castrate them. You know who does that to their children? Scumbags.
Yep. Exactly. Amen.
Exactly. Yep.
You know who does that to their children? Devils. It's just so sick. Jesus said in Luke 17:2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
Amen.
Yep. NBC4, all of you down there at that local TV station, Stonewall, and everybody involved in the Pride Month and Pride March, you'd be better off to have a millstone tied around your neck and to be cast into the depths of the Lake Erie.
Amen.
Than to be doing what you're doing. And there's coming a payday.
Yep.
So how should Bible believers respond? Psalm 97:10 is a good place to see what God says. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked.
Amen.
And I have a question for American Christians, every single one of you. Do you really hate evil? Because if you do, you'd hate the Pride Month.
Amen.
And you'd hate the Pride Parade.
Amen.
Because it is evil. Isn't it just amazing we're living this time?
Amen.
And we just ask, Lord, how long? Hey, I read those Psalms over and over, and I think, wow, that's exactly, Lord, how long? Not mad at you, but it's just amazing that you continue to wait. Johnny?
Yeah. To the NBC people who say they would, you know, reject me because I serve the Lord and all that, I say, I'm going to beat you to the punch. I'm rejecting you already.
That's right.
Don't let them get rid of you, you get rid of them first.
Amen. Mark?
NBC to me stands for nothing but creeps.
Definitely fits here now. Grace?
Well, I totally agree with the anger at sin and the hatred of sin, which most of the church in America doesn't even want to talk about.
Right.
But I guess it's hard for me to, I think there are a couple of verses that you said God hates the wicked. Doesn't it have to be balanced with the fact, you know, God so loved the world? In other words, he hates the sin so much.
I preface my remark with, if you reject God,
then
you choose to be under his hatred.
Yeah.
He that believeth not is condemned already.
Yeah.
And if they reject the Lord and continue in their wickedness, they're under his hatred.
There's a documentary out called In His Image.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? It's testimonies of people that were delivered from the bondage of the LGBTQ.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyone can repent and be saved.
Amen.
But as long as they refuse to repent, they're under his hatred, and if they die at that moment, they'll go to hell.
Yeah.
And you know, let me tell you something. Who's in hell? People that God loved enough to die for their sins, but because they love their wickedness, he hates them. And they're in hell because he hates them. Now, I know that's not American Christianity, but it's Bible Christianity. And what we got to do is stop making God up in our own image and start saying, you know, what does the Bible say about God? And if we would go back to that, this is the way they used to preach in America. Back they used to preach like this. I know it's rare to hear this now, but you used to hear it all the time. But we go back to that, then people in general, even the unsaved, would take sin more seriously.
Yeah, amen.
And they'd understand that God is serious about it. The America today has a Santa Claus for God.
Yeah,
and they think he's just, oh, yeah, whatever. Rick?
The other sad side of the whole LGBTQ community's practices and being promoted by people who say they are allies or want to help them or be the home for, the diseases and afflictions that come with that lifestyle decimate people's lives, and they act like if they are immune, and then when it happens, they don't talk about it because it would let people know this is not a good way to go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if we had a real news media in this country, they would report all of it. But they only report the stuff that's going to fit their narrative, and they ignore all the rest. Just like this trans thing. They don't care that these kids get so upset and messed up because they chemically castrate them. They put them on psych meds, and then they blow their heads off. They OD. They don't care about these kids. If they did, they would recognize how damaging this is, and they would stop doing it to these kids.
Amen.
They don't care. Wait, your dad first. We're going to have to wrap it up here. Just go ahead, John.
Well, real quick, I had a chance to preach in one of the marches, and it was back in the 80s. They rejected the gospel. If I told you what I saw in the parade back in the 80s, I can't imagine how wicked it is today.
Yeah.
But they were very filthy. They were very wicked at that time frame. And then also, I've shared with him, at three different half-price bookstores, I've been banned from passing out tracts. And the people that banned me were the gays.
Yep.
I had nothing to hurt them, nothing to harm them. They even ran me down to the store and attacked me.
Yeah.
And then we used to go to a play down as far as for my cousin. They had a public play down there. I gave my tracts to all the cast. Some of them were gay and complained to my niece. And I was told, don't pass our tracts anymore because, you know, the gays don't like it. And then one of the gays invited one of my in-laws now to one of their bars and then drugged them. And I won't tell you what they did for about 3 hours, but that...
It's like Sodom and Gomorrah.
When you try to give them the gospel, they reject it. And it doesn't mean we don't love them. No one ever goes to hell unloved.
Yeah.
But when you... I don't even... Even when I don't confront them, I'm attacked. That's just what the nature of it is. And you just have to... You have to have sympathy for it, but you have to have common sense.
We get criticized because we're so... patient and try to be so loving to the homosexuals. We get criticized for preaching the truth too, but we also get, and we've had a handful through the years who were homosexual who claim to repent and believe the gospel. But sadly, other than the one that I told the story years ago that died, the rest all ended up going either back into that or going into some crazy stuff. So it's not that they can't be saved, but it is that Romans 1 clearly says that you reach a point, God hands you over.
Yeah.
And to a reprobate mind. And then Proverbs 1, we've been in our devotional talking about that very thing. So we need to wrap it up, and we'll talk more during our fellowship time. Let's open our Bible study, the Word of Prayer, and get into Luke chapter 11.
Amen.
But I don't tell you all that stuff just to, you know, I get kind of excited about it. But I just think, you know what? It is what it is. It's where we live. You need to know about it. And if I can succeed into enlightening all those who listen to our studies to the reality of how wicked the news media is,
yes,
then right there, just that one thing, I'll be doing a community service. So let's go ahead and open the Bible study with prayer. And Brother Sean, great having you back there. Can you open the Bible study with prayer?
Sure. Dear Lord, thank you for having us being able to gather today, even during these times and these years, and things are very uncertain. We know, Lord, we can count on you and your Son, that you are certain in what the book says and your words are. We pray that you give us guidance, help us through these times. We pray for the pastor that the sermon is said very well. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, kind of in line with what we're talking about, I guess, segue into this. We're going to cover verses 24 to 26. Worse than the first is the name, the title, taken right from the text. Worse than the first, Luke 11, 24 through 26. And just go ahead and read all three verses with me. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. God's people say amen.
Amen.
So what happens when a person cleans up but still remains unsaved? That's what we're looking at here.
Amen.
When a person cleans up, that's why I tell people the Alcoholics Anonymous is so dangerous. Dave Hunt, who's passed away now, he used to say that the AA is worse than the drug or worse than the alcohol. Why? Because they go into a big group and they can name whatever God. And they say, my God, my higher power is. And they can fill in the blank with anything. And they credit that higher power. And a lot of them these days say, my higher power is myself.
Yeah.
And then others say, my higher power is Gaia. Or my higher power is Ashtaroth. You know, they you hear it all. I've talked to people who've been in those groups. And listen, you go to AA and you clean up. You may never go back on booze, but you're adopting something else that fills you with deception.
Yep.
And if you go to hell, then cleaning up from dope or alcohol didn't do you eternal good.
Yep.
So Luke 11:24 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. So the unclean spirits will return.
Yeah.
Question is, when they come back, what will they find?
Yeah.
He's just swept the place and cleaned the place out for them. Luke 25 says, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. But it's empty. Swept and garnished, but it's empty.
Yeah.
That's what cleaning up will do for you. I'm glad to see anybody get off dope and stop getting drunk and all that, but listen, without Christ, you're still empty. Now, if you're saved, Jesus is in you.
Amen.
If you're saved, that spirit comes back and finds the house has a new guest. The Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit of Christ in you. That's the difference between an unsaved man and a saved man who clean up. Of course you get saved and you got drugs, alcohol, pornography, adultery, fornication, blasphemies, profanities, whatever it is. Clean up. Clean up. As a result of being saved, that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But if you're just cleaning up your act and you're not being born again, you're not receiving Jesus, you're really still in trouble.
Yeah.
You may look better. You may be more clean cut, but you're in trouble. And how sad when a Christian is not filled with Jesus.
Yeah.
It's this false idea people have when you get saved, you're automatically just filled with Jesus. He's inside. He dwells in you. But Christians are told, be ye filled with the Spirit. Paul wouldn't tell Christians to be filled with the Spirit if you already were. So the question is, are you filled with the Spirit?
Amen.
Dwight Moody, if you don't know who he is, a great evangelist of the late 19th century. And he said, quote, Christians should live in the world, but not be filled with it. A ship lives in the water, but if the water gets into the ship, she goes to the bottom.
Yeah.
So Christians may live in the world, but if the world gets into them, they sink.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, I know everybody in this room can think of people they know. The world got in,
and
they've sunk.
Titanic.
Amen. Just like the Titanic. Because if you read John's tract or you read the histories on the Titanic, they thought it was unsinkable.
Yep.
So they didn't. Not only did they not take precautions and avoid the icebergs, but they didn't have enough lifeboats.
Yep.
They were so cocky and arrogant, and that's the way a lot of Christians are today. So the principle here applies to the saved and the unsaved.
Amen.
But the direct application is to those without Christ. So a heart without Jesus is a home for the devil.
Amen.
A heart without Jesus. If you're unsaved today, no matter how good you think you are, if you're not saved, you have not been born again, then you are a home for the devil. God will not reside inside you. He cannot. Unless you're regenerated, born again. And there are a lot of professing Christians out there that think that because they were baptized as babies and they've never been saved and they don't understand why they're so unhappy and so always in darkness and have no desire for the things of God and everything. But when you try to preach the gospel to them, they just turn you off.
Yep.
Happens all the time. So verse 26 says, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Now that, I want you to let that sink in. Jesus is not a liar.
Amen.
He's not making this up.
Yeah.
This is for real. That spirit goes and gets seven others more wicked than himself. And it says, they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Self-improvement only makes you a better place for worse things to happen.
That's right.
I know some people, they're just always into the self-help stuff. Always reading the self-help books and magazines and listening. I know a guy who used to listen to self-help tapes. He'd pay, I don't know, I mean, it was expensive. Stuff to buy the CDs, and then he would sit and listen to him while he was working out and everything. You know, when Jenny and I met, she approached me the second after we'd met. She saw me in the wellness center, a place where we worked as a place to work out. And I don't know how smart, I know you can't tell by looking now, but there was a day when I was in really good shape. And Jenny saw me over there with my headphones on, and she walked over and asked me what I was listening to. And can you imagine the, if you know Jenny, Can you imagine the look on her face if I was like, oh, it's the latest self-help. You ought to read, you ought to listen to this. Listen to this. This is great. And he put it on, you are beautiful. You are wonderful.
I wouldn't be sitting here today.
She wouldn't be sitting here today. I wouldn't be standing here today. But that's the stuff people fill their heads with instead of filling their heads with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And folks, a lot of that stuff is based on very anti-biblical ideas. Not all of it, but some of it is.
Yeah, amen.
And undiscerning people just fall into that stuff headlong. We're not to just clean up. You can't be saved by cleaning up. And as a Christian, you're not just to clean up. Some people think that as a Christian, if I don't drink, smoke, or run with those who do, then you've arrived. And that's how a lot of churches make it look.
Yeah.
But that's not all there is to it. You don't just clean up. We're to be filled.
Amen.
Filled with what? Filled with God.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Well, first of all, being filled with God's Word.
Amen.
Being filled with His Spirit. Being filled with thoughts of God. Being filled with a desire to love God and please God by loving others and pleasing others as they seek to please God. It's all a big interconnected thing that if you do one, then you end up doing it all. It really is kind of all or nothing with the Lord.
Just like the Ten Commandments, right?
Explain.
Well, because the Ten Commandments, you break one, you break them all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of a...
That's the same standard. In this place, though, it's if you don't do... Those are the do nots.
Yes.
If you don't do one thing, you're not doing the others. In other words, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit if you're not filled with His Word and vice versa.
Right.
And if you're not filled with His Word and filled with His Spirit, you're not going to be singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You're not going to be worried about the lost. You know, it all goes together like that. Now, think of how crazy this is. We teach kids in school evolution, self-love, self-esteem, instead of what God says about them. I mean, you think I'm mean? I'm not mean. I'm just trying to be Bible. I'm just trying to stand with the Bible. And you know what kids are? Kids are wicked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kids have a sinful nature. And you don't make that kid better by telling them they're better when they're not. You're a liar. You tell them, listen, you've got a sinful nature. You tend to want to sin. So what you got to do is be born again.
Yeah.
But see, they've kicked that message out of schools and put yoga in.
Yeah.
They kick that message, the gospel, out, and they bring in self-help, self-love, self-esteem. Self has become God.
Yep.
This is unknown source. I'm not exactly sure where it originated, but, quote, teaching kids that they are evolved animals and then acting shocked whenever they act like animals.
Yeah.
End quote. Kids aren't stupid. If you tell them that they just evolved naturally from a chimpanzee and they're just basically now an intelligent chimp that doesn't have as much hair. So what are they going to do? They're going to act like animals.
Yep.
And the sex and the violence and everything, it just becomes... They're just acting out what they've been taught they are.
Yep.
We reform prison inmates instead of offering them regeneration.
Yeah.
Now, thank God for the prison ministries who do get into some prisons still. But they're closing the doors. And now with using the COVID thing, they're keeping preaching out. And they're doing everything they can to keep Jesus Christ and the gospel out of the prisons.
Yeah.
But you better believe they're still reforming them with all their non-Christian, anti-Christian garbage. And I believe this is from Bob Jones Sr., but I'm not for sure. Educate a criminal, and all you get is a smarter criminal.
True.
Yep. They're amazed whenever they take a criminal and they teach him all about the legal system, and then when he gets out, he knows how to beat the system.
Yeah.
And you name it. Some of those guys go in there and learn all kinds of things about being a criminal. And, you know, that it's not like there's not a book in the library that says how to be a better criminal. But they know if they learn certain things. Some of these guys have learned things like coding so that they can come out and hack and be involved in the whole malware thing on the computers and everything. And they stand there with their diploma and the warden and everybody's so proud of them. And then they get out and they become a hacker and start stealing your identity and spending your credit card limit. That's what's going on. Missions. Missions. I used to hear people going on missions. I think, oh, that's how wonderful. Now I'm thinking, well, I wonder if they're a real mission or not.
Right.
Missions, I mean inner city and missions going all over the world. They feed and clothe and meet physical needs, yet without preaching the gospel. So here, be fed, be clothed, and go to hell. That's what, if you're on a mission and you're not preaching the gospel, you're saying, here, let's make you nice and cozy. Now you can go to hell.
Yep.
That's what, I believe probably most of what's called missions today. If you add all the inner cities and all the foreign missions, they are here. Be well fed and clothed and go to hell. That's what they ought to call their ministry. Another unknown source, but it's making the world a better place to go to hell in. You could preach the gospel and feed and clothe. That's great.
Amen.
That's what Christianity should be.
Yep.
So be filled with God and the things of God, leaving no room for the devil. That's the idea. And listen, kids, they have a free will. They can still reject the gospel. You can raise a kid as best you know how, and they can still reject the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the point is, what part did you play? And right now, our public schools are playing the part of corrupting our children.
Yep.
Right now, our entertainment and the whole, mostly, religious system is corrupting children, teaching them things that are unbiblical. Yep. Imagine, though, like I said, you're always going to have, there was always a Cain with an Abel.
Yeah.
You know? But imagine the world if our schools still had those McGuffey readers.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
That were full of, see, originally, your public schools were basically to teach young people to read so that they could read the Bible.
Amen.
That's your history that you've been robbed of, but that's the truth.
Yep.
Now, look at what they've done. That's why liberals are nothing but Satanists. I know that's going to, some people are going to say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not. It's the truth, and I don't care what you think. Yeah. It's the truth. Satanism is under many different labels, but Satanism is simply this. They don't even have to believe in Satan as a person. Satanism is the principle of rejecting God and making yourself God.
Yep.
Do what thou wilt is Satanism. And that's exactly what our public school system is right now.
Genesis 3.
Do what thou wilt. Hath God said? Do what thou wilt. And that's what all these systems that we have in this country right now are Satanism.
Yep.
Liberalism. Satanism, progressivism, Satanism. And it's all bent on pushing God out of everything. And they're parasites. They don't form or found and build things. What a liberal does, and I think John mentioned this in the Sunday school, what will happen is you have a real good church built on the Word of God, preaching the King James Bible, preaching the gospel, and in will come some people. And they're not really King James Bible believers, and they're not really Bible believers in any sense of the. But they like whatever's going on, and they come around everything. And then you have this, especially the churches that are built on a formal system where you have all the voting going on, everything. I was told about somebody here locally. I'll try not to be too specific. Started a church just like we did, and within 10 years, more than half of that church voted him out. But why? Because they didn't like the fact that he was giving these current events updates just like you heard this morning. They didn't want to hear that stuff. And they wanted to grow. They didn't mean spiritually. They meant they wanted to have more people.
Yeah.
They wanted to, you know, have more excitement. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. So the liberals, that's what a liberal is. They don't believe in absolute truth.
Yep.
They don't believe in absolute morality. And they come into churches, they come into our public school system, they come into our government, and they destroy it.
Yep.
And that's what's going on right now in the public school system. Originally established to teach people to read so you read the Bible.
Amen.
And they would fill those kids with the Word of God so that even the ones that weren't Christian knew more Bible than most Christians do today.
Yeah.
So Scripture with Scripture. Be filled with the fullness of God. Don't just clean up. Get saved. Get born again. The Spirit of God comes into you. And then it's about you surrendering and allowing God to fill you. Be filled with the fullness of God. Look over at Ephesians chapter 3.
Amen.
Verses 14 through 19. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So right there is the attitude of not self. You are bowing before God. You are humbling yourself and making God the authority. Right there. Verse 14. Now read verse 15. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Stop right there. You see that? There's an exchange going on. You bow before God and submit to him, and then he turns around and strengthens you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now you're being filled with God. You're not just empty and cleaned up, but filled with God. That, look, now when the Spirit comes in, what's the result technically? Verse 17, read that. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God."
Amen.
Meditate on that until you get it clear that what you're doing is submitting to God and you're allowing him to fill you. And as his Spirit comes in and fills you, it is Christ, the Spirit of Christ. Some people don't understand what we mean when we say, "I believe I have Jesus in my heart." No, we didn't swallow a tablet of Jesus and he gives it in our heart. It's not something physical like that. You have Jesus in you because you're saved, and now you are submitting to him, and by his word, as you take in his word, submitting to his word, you are now filled with Christ, and he will dwell in your hearts. And that's how you know God's will for your life. That's how you know what is right and what is wrong. That's how you have discernment and you can see what's going on in the world and not be fooled by it. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Look at page over Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now read 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And now he's going to say, this is what it looks like when you're filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." In other words, you're going to get under some people's skin.
Yeah.
You're going to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs instead of the crap on the top 40 and the crap on the, you know, the secular entertainment and music and everything that is also filthy and nasty. And I'm sorry to even say I have to know what some of these people, who they are and what they're doing. But, you know, I try to keep up with what's going on just so, you know, someone asks me a question, you know, I can answer it. But I can't keep up with all of it. There's just so much garbage. And to know Christians fill themselves with that garbage. And we have access to so much, including Bible, anytime we want it. And this local church twice a week, but you can access it 7 days a week on the internet.
Amen.
And you have Christian friends you can call and talk to. You can spend Amen. Time in the Word by yourself, spend time praying. You can spend time out trying to talk to people about the Lord. And if you can't get people to talk to you because they're scared to death, you know, you're going to breathe on them. Then you get the tracks and put a rubber band and go around, put them on doors. You can do all kinds of things, filling your heart, your mind, filling your life with the things of God. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be a thankful person. You'll be grateful. You won't be one of these people always thinking, oh, yeah, I just deserve so much more. I deserve so much better. That's not going to be your attitude if you're filled with the Spirit. You're going to realize you ought to be in hell right now.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, Lord, you're so good to me. I have so much. Everything you have can fill in a blank there. I have so much I don't deserve. What? Everything you have.
Amen.
Yep. And in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Amen.
And we're not going to get into the wife submitting because then we'd be here all day. So we're going to stop there. But it says, be filled with the knowledge of His will. Knowledge. I've grown up seeing the posters. Knowledge is power. Not if it's not true knowledge. It can be your downfall.
Yep.
Knowledge, when it's true, is power. And how do we know the knowledge of His will? Look over Colossians now. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9-14. Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, let's just read through these verses. Verse 10, read it with me. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if you're going to be filled with the knowledge of God, then you're going to walk worthy, you're going to be fruitful, and you're going to increase in the knowledge of God. That means you're going to be in His Word. You're going to be studying. You're going to be in church to listen to the teaching. You're going to do what you can to grow in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, read that. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Read 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And see, what we're realizing is it's really us just submitting ourselves to what He has for us. He's doing all the work.
Amen.
He gave you the book. All you're doing is receiving it. You're taking it in, but He did all the work.
Amen.
He's giving you His Spirit. He's doing all the work. And that's why it says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who did all the work? He did.
Amen.
He's done all the work. In whom we have redemption, but who did the work? Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You have forgiveness, but you didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. So by His blood, who? Verse 15, Jesus is who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And I got to stop there. So it's just, and that's God's word, man. You can just, you don't want to stop. And it just doesn't stop. You can just keep going and feeling yourself. And it may seem basic to some, but here's a little reality check. If this is so basic, why are so few doing this?
Yeah.
If this is so basic, why do so few people do this? And I'm not going to point fingers and name names, but that's for you to decide which side of that question you're on. That's for you to decide.
Yep.
What are you filled with? Only you can answer that. Go back to verse 26 in Luke 11. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. That should make you very, very concerned not to be that person. not to have your place just cleaned up. You want to have Jesus inside.
Amen.
If not, it says, look at verse 26 ends, those words, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. If you refuse to be filled by God, your end will be worse than the trouble that you have at first.
Yeah.
In other words, that person who's trying to get off drugs or trying to get off the booze or whatever, if he doesn't fill his life with Christ, even if he cleans up for a few years, the rest of his life doesn't get back on that, he ends up in hell if he doesn't fill him, allow God to fill him with his spirit. And a Christian, yeah, you're saved, but your end in this life can be worse than it was at the point you were saved even.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. Then the rest of us are left to question whether or not that's the case, or maybe you were never saved in the first place.
Yep.
And we'll find out when we get to heaven. What a terrible way to end.
Yeah.
And why? Let's just allow God's word to summarize it for us. In John 3:3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Amen.
If you will not be born again, and all you're doing is cleaning up your act, you're empty and just waiting to be filled with the devil, and in the end, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will see a place called hell.
Yep.
John 3:16 is a well-known verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What happens if you will not? You'll perish.
Yep.
Your end will be worse than the first.
Amen.
A couple of verses over, we don't hear as often, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Why is his ending worse than the first? Because you end condemned without Christ. And what is worse than the first? Jesus said in Matthew 13:41, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." The next verse says, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth."
Yep.
American Christianity and Americans in general have not only made up a God in their own image, but they've decided that they'll believe in heaven, but not in hell. The Bible talks about both places as in the same terms. They're real places. But Americans are so smart. Western Christianity now has become so smart more and more, now saying they don't believe in this place called hell, even though Jesus talked about it more than anyone else.
Amen.
And God keeps the books.
Yep.
In Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You go to hell until judgment day. You'll be brought up in front of the judgment. Hell itself is cast in the lake of fire. Yep. And all whose names were not found written in the book of life are then cast into the lake of fire.
That's right.
But it doesn't have to end that way. It doesn't have to be that way.
Amen.
And that's where we're going to pick up next time in our study. And today, you make the decision, if you haven't already. Will you be born again and receive the Spirit of God? Or will it end that way for you, where you're just doomed? Because you've chosen to be doomed. God's put it in your lap, so to speak. The choice is on you. If you are saved, and you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are filled with God and the things of the Spirit, then I want you to join us in singing page 483. Because that's the result of being filled with God, is that you love Him so much. You love Him so much. He first loved us. And now, because of what He's done for us, we love Him so much. And we should just think about sometimes what He's done for us. Saving us from that lake of fire.
Amen.
Saving us from the self-destruction in this life. And none of it deserved. None of it earned. Every bit of it undeserved, and a free gift received by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection. So you would stand, page 483. Oh, how I love Jesus. Third verse, I just want to give you an opportunity. I hope and pray everyone here is saved. I believe every one of you have given that testimony. How many times have you just stopped whatever you're doing and thanked Him for saving you? Thanked Him for what He's done for you? I just want to give you a moment. Maybe it's because life gets busy or whatever. You don't. Here, now, let's take a minute. Just between you and the Lord, in your heart, speak to Him in your heart and thank Him if you're thankful. If you're saved and thankful, thank Him for saving you. Just take a minute. Let's do that. I want to tell you, when I pray, a lot of times when I tell Him, I don't deserve it. And there are times where I don't even feel saved. I'm thankful I don't have to base it on my feelings. I base it on the fact of His accomplished work on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. He shed His blood. And the fact that the Bible says I'm saved and my feelings don't matter. Doesn't matter how you feel. Are you saved? Have you repented toward God and believed that death, burial, and resurrection as payment and victory on your behalf over sin, death, and hell? If so, you're saved. Doesn't matter how you feel. But then if we will fill ourselves with God and His Word and His Spirit and the things of God, we'll sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, we'll preach the gospel, and we can then have those feelings because they're nice, ain't they? Amen? So let's go ahead and sing now what it says in verse 3, that it tells me what my Father hath in store for me every day. Let's sing that.
It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day.
Practicing this last night, and I looked over at Jenny, And I just saw the big smile on her face. And when we got done, I said, you think exactly what I was thinking. To sing that song and have Jesus just sitting right there. And yes, he's here with us, but there's going to come, I believe there's going to come a day we're going to be right there with him. We're going to be able to spend time with him. And I hope he lets me and Jenny sing that song. And if you all are anywhere close, I'll call you over. You have to sing with us. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, get your prayer requests in online at bbfohio@protonmail.com. And if you have your prayer cards, get those up here and we'll say goodbye to the onliners on 3, 1, 2, 3. See you
here, there, and in here.